What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio, our show Lean Into Clean. Have you been leaning into clean this week or over the weekend? What does that even mean? Well, for me, it means when you tread on the earth more lightly, when you are taking care about the more sustainable approach to, you know, this issue that we have called the climate crisis, when you are becoming maybe even a solution rather than a problem to it. Look, it's not to put all the blame and shame onto all of us, because clearly big business and countries are responsible for the biggest issues when it comes to the climate crisis, which is their overusage of fossil fuels. But there are certain things that we can do in our lives that just, you know, are just easier for our planet to deal with. So just a little reminder, just have a think about what you've done. Have you been recycling? Have you had a fast this week? Have you decided to switch to an electric car or already in an electric car? Have you switched to 100% renewable energy with somebody like Octopus or Good Energy? You know, there's little things that we can do. And actually, those little things, if we all do them, they have a huge, huge impact. So that's my soapbox moment. I'm just going to give you a little bit of news. This was actually on September the 11th, but it was on mygreenpod.com. I hope you're going to the site to check out anything about sustainability that you want to get more information about. But this actually really, really links to today's guest, which I'm super excited to speak to him. So I won't be a spoiler alert, but let me just tell you about this particular article. So it's the headline is 1 in 10 kids obese, right? Which is a shocking headline. It goes on to say obesity exceeds underweight for the first time among school age children and adolescents globally. Obesity exceeds overweight globally. I mean, that's just incredible, right? So let me go on and read this out to you. It says obesity surpassed underweight as the more prevalent form of malnutrition this year, affecting 1 in 10, or the number is 188 million school-aged children and adolescents, and placing them at risk of life-threatening disease. This is a report done by UNICEF, which is, of course, the children's charity. Now, it says obesity now exceeds underweight in all regions of the world except sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. Now, according to the findings, several Pacific Island countries have the highest prevalence of obesity globally, including 38% of 5 to 19-year-olds in Niue, and 37% in Cook Islands, and 33% in Nauru. Now, these levels, which have doubled since 2000, are largely driven by a shift from traditional diets to cheap, energy-dense imported foods. Meanwhile, many high-income countries continue to have high levels of obesity. For example, 27% of 5 to 19-year-olds in Chile are living with obesity, 21% in the United States, no surprise there, and 21% in the United Arab Emirates, which is a bit more surprising. It says, while undernutrition, such as wasting and stunting, remains a significant concern among children under 5 in most low and middle income countries, the prevalence of overweight and obesity is increasing among school-aged children and adolescents. Now, According to the latest available data, one in five children and adolescents aged 5 to 19 globally, or 391 million, are overweight, with a large proportion of them now classified as living with obesity. Now, what is obesity? So, children are considered overweight when they are significantly heavier than what is healthy for the age, sex, and height. Obesity is a severe form of overweight and leads to a higher risk of developing insulin resistance, high blood pressure, as well as life-threatening diseases later in life, including type 2 diabetes, which is obviously serious cardiovascular disease, and certain cancers. Now, let me just finish this because I think it's a really, really important article. So, the report warns that ultra-processed and fast foods, high in sugar, refined starch, salt, and healthy fats and additives, are shaping children's diets through unhealthy food environments rather than personal choice. Now, these products dominate shops and schools, while let me just I'm just sorry, something's popped up. While digital marketing gives the food and beverage industry powerful access to young audiences, for example. In a global poll of 64,000 young people aged 13 to 24 from over 170 countries conducted through the UNICEF YouReport platform last year, 75% of respondents recalled seeing advertisements for sugary drinks, snacks, or fast foods in the previous week, and 60% said the advertisements increased their desire to eat the foods, right? So we know the system is driving the issue. Now, even in conflict affected areas, this is crazy. 68% of young people said they were exposed to these advertisements. Now, without interventions to prevent childhood overweight, should I say, and obesity, countries could face lifetime health and economic impacts exceeding, for example, 210 billion in Peru due to obesity-related health issues. So this is costing countries a fortune. Now, by 2035, the global economic impact of overweight and obesity is expected to surpass 4 trillion annually. 4 trillion. The report highlights positive steps governments have taken. For example, in Mexico, a country facing a high prevalence of childhood and adolescent obesity, and where sugary drinks and ultra-processed foods account for 40% of children's daily calories, the government recently banned the sale and distribution of ultra-processed foods and items high in salt, sugar, and fat in public schools, positively impacting food environments for over 34 million children, which is amazing. Hats off to you. Now, to transform food environments and ensure children have access to nutritious diets, UNICEF is calling on governments, civil society, and partners to urgently, oh, civil society and partners, sorry, to urgently implement comprehensive mandatory policies to improve children's food environments, including food labeling, food marketing restrictions, and food taxes and subsidies. So we all know that many of our high processed foods, like sugars, for example, are subsidized. So this has got to change, right? UNICEF also wants to see social and behavior change initiatives that empower families and communities to demand healthier food environments. The provision or sale of ultra processed and junk foods in schools should be banned, and food marketing and sponsorships in schools prohibited to the Sorry, the charity advises. And finally, there should be strong safeguards to protect public policy processes from interference by those UF, UPF food industries. Social protection programs should be strengthened to address income poverty and improve financial access to nutritious diets for vulnerable families. I mean, how shocking is that? So these are our children that, first of all, they're growing up in an environment where, there's a lot of doom and gloom, climate change, the other issues that are going on with wars, etc. So just think how awful it must be for young children today. So let's try and do our best to do keep Try and keep them healthy with, ultra processed foods. So anyway, that's a really good story. If you want to check out more stuff like that, go to mygreenpod.com. We actually are featured today's guest in this month's magazine. He's also featured on the homepage at the moment at My Green Pod. I want to welcome to the show Aaron Providence from Feel Complete.
Hey Jarvis, thanks for having me.
Not at all. It's great to have you, man. What did you think to that when I just did you know about those stats?
I think you said 1 in 10 at the beginning, and the most recent number I'd seen on the NHS was 22%. So 2 in 10 of year 6 children are obese, and I think also it's interesting to think, that's obese. That's not just overweight, a little bit chubby. That is in that category of obese. So when I was at school, I don't remember there being many children in the school at all that were kind of
No.
really overweight or obese. So it definitely is something that, something needs to be done.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And thank you. Aaron, just give me a little bit of an insight, or give our listeners a bit of an insight to you. So we met recently. I actually came across you through the Soil Association, and we got chatting, and I found out about a bit more about your products, was really, really fascinated by them. We spoke and you told me the most amazing story. So just give me a little bit of background on you as a child growing up, and where you are today, and what happened in between.
It's interesting when you say amazing story. Obviously for me, it's all I've ever known. So, and for most people, I'm hope. Well, for most people, I don't think it's an amazing story. I think it is what people. A lot of people have grown up with and kind of lived with for the last few decades. So for me, growing up, it was just about feeling full. Nothing about nutrition, nothing about kind of really eating natural organic foods. I don't think I heard the word organic foods until I was probably in my mid-20s.
Same for me, by the way.
And we always have, I'm going slightly off track already, but we always have this debate, or this thing that always comes to the back front of mind is foods that are organic, they should be the standard in the supermarket. Something that's not organic should say on it, not organic, rather than it being the other way around. And obviously we did meet through the Soil Association, and they're doing great things to try and really push the organic message. So our products are certified by the Soil Association, and for me that was, it has to be done. Like, we're not going to release a food product with it inorganic. But to go back to the kind of story, so diet and nutrition just wasn't on the agenda growing up. I've got three other siblings, and growing up, for us, just eating kind of what's in sight, eating what tastes good, and obviously that's typically the bad stuff. High in sugar, high in ultra processed ingredients and foods and unnatural things. And we found that all of us were, overweight growing up. And I don't think it's just the overweight or the obesity kind of issue. It's what comes with that as well, which is typically bad skin, low energy, and poor sleep. All of these things come as part of that diet as well. So it is a real concoction of issues. But for us, because we were all the same, it's kind of looking at it like maybe it just runs in the family. This isn't something that we're doing
Like
differently
a
or wrong.
genetic thing, or
It's more of this is
because you
genetics, and
don't know as a
the
child, do you? You just have
no.
no clue. You just kind of get on with what's in front of you.
And you're in your bubble as well. You have family members that are older, aunties, grandparents, etc., and they're also overweight or they've got diabetes. And it's kind of just said that, you'll probably get diabetes when you're older as well. Something to look out for. So
Oh
almost
my
like
God.
putting you on that path already is it's just expected that that'll happen. And it wasn't until I went to university then, and moving out of London as well, going to university. I went to the University of Lincoln. So quite a while away from London, and that was on purpose as well, just to go and experience something different. And as soon as I was in that environment, you can just see a lot, most people were a lot healthier than kind of my norm, of what I would see where I lived. But also living with them, you see that they're eating and they've got different habits. You know, they wouldn't be going and getting takeaways and ordering pizzas and this type of stuff. They would just be cooking a lot more from scratch. And it's you kind of then start to put two and two together because you obviously spend a few months at university and then you go home and you see then the kind of flip side when you're back at home and they're ordering takeaways and eating kind of not so foods as well. And I don't necessarily put this down to my parents. You know, I think even parents today as well, you're influenced by what's on TV, you're influenced by what your kids want. They see these ads, they're in the supermarkets, they see packaging. You know, they're demanding those foods. You know, I've got four children myself, one more on the way. And I know the feeling, you know, you're in the supermarket and they're pointing it out, you know, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can we get that? And then you have the issue when school and their friends have lunches and they've got chocolate bars and crisps and all this stuff, and they come home and you know they're saying, oh, why can't I have this stuff in my lunchbox? So it's very, very difficult for parents to kind of avoid this trap, even when you are educated and you kind of have got that level of information. And a lot of people still aren't there, obviously, for yourself and myself, we're in the minority really of people that are kind of really looking at ingredients and having a conscious effort to eat better and live better.
No, absolutely. I think it's a system that is so broken. But actually, when you look at the system serves itself because people are buying into this. And this is UK Health Radio. There's a lot of people out there listening to this that are probably not subscribed to the traditional kind of health systems. And so, you're suddenly then sucked into a kind of, medical industry with a pharmaceutical industry. And there's money there. And I don't want to be too conspiracy theorist, but I think, there is a system that that is not caring so much about people, but more caring about money and profits. And that's where the issue is. I mean, thank you for giving us the background. So, I mean, in essence, you're saying that, you grew up, you realized that you were eating unhealthily when you went to university, and you started to, what were the moments where you started to eat different foods and you started to feel a difference? Was there a bit of an aha moment, or was it a prolonged period of time?
I think for me, and probably just being, you know, male, 18, 19, it didn't take long for me to sort of once you start to tweak those eating habits, to start seeing the results. And being, you know, fairly active as well at university. You know, I didn't drive until I was in my early 20s, so walking everywhere as well, will help. But for me, it's going in the supermarket and starting to explore. I never really cooked at all before I went to university. It was pretty much just, you know, mum does the cooking at home. And, you know, I'd just heat my food up later or eat it when it's ready. Whereas at university, it was kind of like, okay, I need to eat now and I want to eat nice food.
You've got no one looking after you anymore.
And you can't afford the takeaways and, you know, the really sort of expensive luxury stuff either or eating out. So it's very much a case of going around the supermarkets and trying to, you know, pick out the meal combinations you can make on with your budget. And I had a student cookbook that my mum bought for me. I've still got it now. It's literally the destroyed. The spine of it has peeled off, the pages are coming
It's
out,
been
it's
well used.
stained with very, very well used. I went through the book from front to back and made every single recipe in the book.
Oh, good for you.
So I really enjoyed it. You know, just going to university and then having that freedom to just cook and the time as well. I really, really enjoyed it. And so that's where my kind of passion for food kind of started. In terms of recipes, as I said, I went through everything. There's obviously certain recipes you kind of gravitate towards because they're a lot easier to cook than others.
I remember eating a lot of pasta when I was a student. Pasta was a big meal.
A lot of spaghetti bolognese. Yeah, spaghetti bolognese. Definitely. And I think it's one of those where you just start to really think about what you're eating. Not only obviously what you're cooking and what you're eating, but then you going through that book, when you're in supermarkets and you're looking, you know, like you say, spaghetti bolognese, for example, you can buy a ready meal in the supermarket that's a spaghetti bolognese and heat it up in the microwave. But once you've gone through that process of cooking it yourself and you understand what goes into it and actually eating it and tasting it, just completely different experience than just putting it in the microwave for 3 minutes and then eating it. And it can never taste as good. How can spaghetti in a microwave taste as good as fresh spaghetti that you cooked yourself?
No way.
I know, just thinking about my children, they're going from a completely different experience now, because they both did, my older two, throughout their primary school experience, they were doing cooking twice a week in school. And now they're in both in secondary school. They still continue to do food tech in school, which I never did. Never did food tech. I went to an all boys secondary school and never did food tech at all. Just wasn't on the curriculum. And they love cooking. They love baking as well. They love MasterChef. My son's into cooking competitions. So just their experience with food is so different. Obviously, it's still, you need to add that healthy lens to it, but just completely different from where I grew up.
Yeah, nice, lovely. Well, we're going to talk about your company, Feel Complete. I think this might be a really good moment to go to a commercial break. We'll come back to Aaron and talk about his company, Feel Complete, and what inspired him to set that up. So don't go away. We shall be back with you very, very soon.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I'm here with Aaron Providence, who's the chief of Feel Complete, which is a food company. We're going to talk about that in a bit. I also wanted to just mention, I talked about the Soil Association earlier because that's how Aaron and I met. Just so you know, if you see the Soil Association certification or badge on products, it means it's one of the best certified organic products out there. So if you are looking to buy into organic, yeah, do look out for the Soil Association label, because it's a really, really good one. Aaron, tell me a little bit about your journey from, working out that food was having an impact on you and a negative one. You kind of changed your lifestyle when you were going through college or university, should I say. What came next? Presumably you started to see results, did you? Did you start to see the weight dropping off? You were feeling better. Just tell me about how what that experience was.
Yeah, like you say, weight dropping off, skin clearing up, a lot more energy, just feeling good really. But then also that challenge of going back home, speaking to, the younger siblings and trying to educate them on, say, oh, you guys really need to stop eating this stuff, or start eating this, start eating that. It's really going to make a difference. But I think, like many people in this world, when you speak to people outside of the world, kind of get that, is that real? It seems too simple. Surely the solution can't be that simple. So yeah, very, very challenging. I think the main thing to pick up there, though, is that when I was at uni, I went to uni and did law and finance. So it never was my priority, or never had the time to really invest into learning and, reading nutritional books and learning around the science of it. It was very much sort of a side note, like, okay, I've kind of solved this now, I feel great. I try and help people and tell people where I can, but I'm still not an expert and haven't really got the science behind me to kind of back it up.
So just to be clear, hold on. I know you were going to go on a bit, but on a little more about that. But let me just ask you. So you not only became, more confident in yourself because you were feeling better, you were eating better, you were happier, but you actually chose to take it upon yourself to try and help others with this experience that you'd had. I mean, you're such a tenacious guy. I mean, honestly, I'm sounds a bit it sounds a bit weird, but I think you're such a good example of a young person that's recognized something and then wants to actually do it for a higher cause. So it wasn't, just about you. I mean, was it
Thank you.
family related? Was it your friends? Was it just people in general? Were there specific people out there that you wanted to help? I mean, from a particular background or, culture or.
I think overall, the overall feeling that I had was that I'd been duped almost in terms of the environment that I grew up in and growing up. And obviously when you're growing up and you're a teenager and you're slightly overweight and bad skin, etc., that impacts a lot of things, right? A lot of things that are important to you at that time in your life. And when you then realize that, oh wait, these are the reasons why, and actually a lot of that are the big business, the big corporates out there that are making these foods and promoting them heavily, and putting them in the right places in supermarkets where people kind of have to buy them, marketing them in that way. For me, it was almost like the us against them type mentality. It was like, I need to try and help people and help them understand that this is why they have their issues, and try and build their level of knowledge. Because once you understand that, you can start to then make your own way through it, and you start to make the right changes, which then lead to the right outcomes that you're looking for. So for
No,
me, it's just
absolutely.
general in terms of anyone really that's having those issues that just doesn't know why. It's
Which
trying
is
to help them to
actually,
understand why.
it's a massive amount of people because as we've clearly identified, we're an absolute tiny minority when it comes to. I remember there was a brilliant line my wife told me about it, who's the editor of My Green Pod, Katie, who actually wrote your article. She said to me, Vivienne Westwood, before she died, she used to talk about, eating organic and staying off, unhealthy foods, etc. And people would say to her, "Well, the thing is about organic, it's expensive." And she'd say, "Well, just eat less." And I kind of love that because actually, if you are eating quality and you are eating, organic, then you do actually eat less because you are getting more sustenance, more nutrition, more minerals, all of that stuff. So it's a wonderful story.
It's a great
When
line.
did you notice in your journey? Because it sounds like you went on a search, on a searching mode. You started to do research, you started to find out more. Was there one particular moment, apart from the fact that you felt duped, apart from the fact that this industry, you were fighting against this industry, which is a real David and Goliath story, to be fair,
Still
was
is.
there a particular moment in your research and you thought, "Oh my God, this is disgusting," and you kind of started shouting from your soapbox about it? And was anybody listening to you? Did anyone care?
No, I don't think so. A little bit now, people definitely are listening more. And I feel like the community, like you say, of us, people that are really conscious of ingredients and looking, is definitely growing. And has been over the last few years, significantly. I think the Soil Association have a good stat, which is of 13 years of consecutive growth in organic sales. So every year it is really, really growing. I don't think there was one particular moment though, that I can think of. There's definitely a few stats and figures you see out there, like a lot of the food companies that are out there. They own basically all of these brands in the supermarket. These aren't individual brands when you go in there. They are all owned by the same people that have the same goal which is to
let's
drive
just talk
profit.
About that for a minute, because I know you're probably, you know, you own a food company, you probably don't want to say, but I don't care. I really do. These are the P&Gs, these are the Unilevers, they're the PepsiCos, they're the Coca-Colas, they're, you know, they're the big companies out there that, you know, most of your products in the supermarkets are made specifically for that, you know, from those supply chains. So, you know, and these companies, they claim to be sustainable in some ways, they claim to be purposeful in other ways. It's utter rubbish. If you look at the, you know, the 10 biggest food companies, they are all pretty nasty in the way that they do things. So, you know, do be aware of that. Sorry, Aaron, I just wanted to say that because I'm mindful that you probably wouldn't, because you're, you know, you're a caring individual, but people do need to know. So what else should people look out for, and then tell us a little bit about Feel Complete and what, how you do things differently.
In terms of what to look out for, I would always say to people, just look at the ingredients. I know it's very, very simple. A lot of people say it, but when you look at the ingredients on certain products, see a long, long list. And on others, you know, you'll see a very short list. And, you know, a little bit of common sense will tell you if they're natural ingredients or not. And for me, kind of leading into to Feel Complete, salt was one that really shocked me, because you see a product, and even sea salt, you see a sea salt product on the shelf in a supermarket, you'd assume that it's just sea salt, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's just sea salt. But you look at the back and the ingredients, and you'll see that most of them have anti-caking agents added to them. Just something like that. And then the only reason why they're adding anti-caking agents in it is to stop it from clumping up, so it kind of goes hard while it's on the shelf. And then people take it home and they can't kind of get it out. But there's other ways to get around that, rather than using an artificial anti-caking agent. So if you have to look out and be careful on what salt you're looking at, then, you know, you basically need to check the, I check the ingredients on everything that I pick up. Yeah, I always pick it up and look at the back.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. If it's not just the natural products that it should be, like whatever you're buying, if it's not as natural as it should be, or there's words in there that you don't understand or don't know what they are, basically don't buy it. That's the kind of message. I'm interested in the salt, actually, because I know Feel Complete has this range. Funnily enough, you very kindly sent us some to test because of the magazine article that we did on you and the products. I've just had my first delivery of ones that we've ordered. My wife, Katie, who loves, you know, she's a really good cook, but is the editor, is very into healthy food. She said these salts are amazing, and it's actually a way of us getting certain things into our children without them noticing, right? Which is where we kind of started. So they've just arrived this morning, which I'm very pleased to say. We'll talk about how listeners can get your salts, but just now, let's use this moment just to talk about Feel Complete and the products, you know, the salts that you sell. It's a great name, by the way, Aura Salts. I do love that. But just give us a little bit of an insight to that. And then when we've done that, I think we'll play your first record. But let's just talk about this first.
So in terms of Aura Sea Salt, so for me, thinking about everything we've just spoken about, it all kind of ties into this, in that most people they're not really too fussed about what the ingredients are. They just want great taste. So for us, you know, this product has to taste great. It has to taste better than the alternatives, regardless of the health. That's going to come second, but it has to taste better. So we feel we've achieved that, and, you know, won some great taste awards, etc. But to really influence these big companies that you mentioned, they're only looking at profits. So if they can see that actually people are buying these more healthier products, they will start to create these healthier products as well. So I think sometimes people sort of see it more as David and Goliath, and that these guys are just big and they're just out to poison everybody. That's not necessarily the case. They're just out to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
But to change them, the only way we can change them is by launching really innovative, tasty, healthy organic products, and seeing the mainstream or as many people as possible buying these products, then they'll launch their versions of that. That's typically what happens in this industry. So for me, it was, okay, we want to create a great, what products do people use every day? How do we help the most amount of people possible? And there was only one answer for me, which was sea salt. Almost everybody uses salt, you know, they have it in their kitchen, they sprinkle it on most dishes, etc. So okay, we want sea salt that's great, that tastes great. So we use Celtic sea salt. And Celtic sea salt comes from northern France. It's one of the most mineral dense sea salts, which means it's got elements in it like potassium, zinc, magnesium, these minerals that we need and are good for us, has less sodium as well. And it's coming from France. It's sun-dried, it's natural, it's not boiled seawater, it is hand-harvested. So we use that salt as the base. And then what we wanted to do was, how do we make that salt even better? So we want to add flavors to it so that people can have something tasty that they can add to their meals. So wild garlic is our most popular flavor. I think maybe that's the one that we sent you.
Yeah, we love wild garlic in our house. We always go out and pick it when the season's see it, make some pestos and stuff. But yeah, that's exactly the one we've got. And the mushroom one as well, actually.
The mushroom one. That's my favorite, the mushroom one. So we wanted to add the flavors. So we've got five different flavors. And then we also thought, well, it's going to be organic. We'll make sure that those ingredients are all organic. So that'll be different to what's in the supermarket at the moment, because at the moment in the supermarket you can buy an organic steak, but then there's no sort of organic product like this to sprinkle onto that steak. You'd be adding your basic salt with anti-caking agents on top of your organic steak, which just made no sense to me at all. And that's still the case at the moment in almost every supermarket. So we're obviously trying to change that. The next step for the products, if everybody is using this product, or if a lot of people are using this organic, you know, wild garlic sea salt that we've created, what else could we add in there that's going to really add something functional that they need? But maybe they don't take it frequently because they just don't have the time, or they don't know about it, etc. And for us, there's only one answer, which is vitamin D. Vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin that almost everybody in the UK knows about. They know that they need more of it, but most people just don't supplement vitamin D because it's a little pill that I need to go and remember to go in my cabinet and take a pill out and supplement every day. People just kind of, maybe they start over a certain period and they just forget about it, not taking it. So if we can add that to their food, that's a great way of them getting it kind of without thinking about it. But also bringing it back to nature, in that, you know, you should be ingesting these, getting these vitamins and minerals from your food, and your body will absorb it better if it's also added to your food. And I was really conscious not to do that through a synthetic form of vitamin D. It had to be natural. So we actually use a special organic shiitake mushroom, and that's ground into a powder. And that powder is added to the salt. And that's how people will get their daily vitamin D in every pinch. And again, all natural organic ingredients. So spent a lot of time thinking about the product and, you know, how do we execute this in a healthy, natural and organic way? Obviously we spoke a couple of months about it, and that was because the product was nominated for the best new organic product, which was great. It's won a few awards this year.
Congratulations.
Seems to be getting the recognition that it deserves. And a lot of people from the, you know, more health community and nutritionists, they really, really love the product. It's just really difficult to break into the mainstream and kind of really spread that message.
Well let's hope this is a bit of a starting place for you to do that. I think everybody listening is going to be really, really inspired by you, and, you know, definitely the product. We love it in our house. Let's just go and play your first record, and straight after that we'll go into a commercial break, and then we'll come back and you can tell us a little bit more about, you know, what else is in the pipeline for Feel Complete or Assaults or whatever else you're up to, because I'm sure there's going to be loads with the tenacity that you've that you're living. So what's the first song we're going to play, Aaron?
So it's called The Journey, and this is when I heard it for the first, I think it only came out maybe a year ago, when I heard it for the first time, it just summed up kind of the stress and, you know, the pain of a startup and trying to grow the business. Not necessarily the most uplifting or positive kind of happy song, if you like, But I think it applies to everyone because everyone's got their own personal journey that they're kind of on, just trying to overcome. Yeah, I think it's a really meaningful song, especially to
yeah,
me. So.
great. It means a lot to you, which is the most important thing. So this is The Journey by Her. It's actually H-E-R. So, okay, great. I hope you enjoy this as much as Aaron does. And we'll see you back after the commercial break.
All the times you thought you'd never make it through, felt just like the world just turned its back on you, didn't stop you. All the times you could have given in and given up, times you didn't know if you were strong enough, still you got through. Somehow it's all part of the plan, the journey, the journey, the journey. It's the journey, it's the getting there to where you're going to go through hell, but still you're gonna make it through. It's the fire that they can't put out inside, it's a hell of a ride. All the times they thought that they could hold you back, but you've always known there was no chance of that. You're made too strong, and when you're going with your heart, you can go farther than you'd ever thought possible. Prove them all wrong. It's a part of a bigger plan. The journey.
Station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. I'm here with Aaron Providence from Feel Complete. That's a label that puts out amazing products. We're just talking about Aura Salts. Funny, I was just looking at your website, Aaron, as I was, just kind of, listening to the commercial breaks and the song that you played. I mean, great song, by the way. I can see why that kind of, gives you an energy boost. What was it like listening to it again?
Almost a daily occurrence of listening to that song.
Oh, great.
I've got a number of playlists. And I think, you mentioned about tenacity before, but, I think you need things that are going to help you to get through what you're going through. Or, if you've got a really difficult mission, you need things like that that can push you through.
Yeah, agreed. And it is a difficult mission. I mean, you are, you're literally kind of, your competition, should I say, not that you're fighting against them, but your competition is brands that have billions of pounds for marketing, not just tens of thousands, but billions and billions. I was, the reason why I mentioned your website is because firstly, it's a great website. Anybody out there, you should go and check it out. It's Feel Complete, as you would say it, feelcomplete.com. It's spelled as you would say it, should I say. But there's a bit on your, there's a couple of things on the website which are great. Firstly, those Instagram posts that you've got from your, people that have tried the products. I look at that and it's seriously making me hungry. So I'm going to go and grab some food after this and get a bit of Aura Salts on there. But there's also something else on the website which says, it says, we're a small UK brand with a simple philosophy. And I love this. Keep it natural. Keep it organic. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners, no seed oils, no fillers, and no synthetic junk. Basically, we make the kind of products I wish I could find more often. The ones where you don't even need to read the label. And that's because you trust the brand. You trust what's going into the products. And that's where the issue is, right? Is that people do trust these brands that are on the TV, marketing, advertising all the time. And yet, actually, there's ingredients in there that are ultra processed, high salts, high sugars. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. How do you feel about, where are you on your journey? Like, do you feel complete with your...
I mean, it's very early days for us. We have no big backers or investors to kind of supercharge us through this phase. So we are really reliant on our customers, buying our products, loving our products, sharing them with other people as well to really kind of help us grow and give us the resources to go and launch more products. If I could, I would launch 10 new products a month, really cover all bases so that there is a brand you could trust. And, you need any kind of condiment or food product in the supermarket, and almost we're on every shelf with our version of, something really, really healthy, nutritious, organic, etc.
Nice.
And at a good price.
Nice vision.
But you need a big budget to do that.
Yeah. You do. But so tell me about, so you've got the salts, and we've talked about the salts, and we've talked about, I mean, I was just looking at the website, actually. It says, and I think these are really interesting stats, is, it's not only is it organic, which we've talked about, and you've talked about the daily vitamin D fix, you've got it boosts immune systems, muscular function and recovery, naturally delicious and pure, obviously, because you've talked about that. It also says up to 82 minerals and supports strong, healthy bones. I mean, there's some pretty, grand, amazing statements, which I think is, absolutely critical to the way that you do things. What else are you doing for the brand? Like, what other areas are you, sustainable, down to packaging, supply chains? Are you doing anything within the company to give back? I'd love to hear about some of the values and impacts and purpose that you've got.
So we try and be as sustainable as possible. And for me, that's all about reducing wastage, but not necessarily wastage just in terms of sort of ingredient wastage or packaging wastage, but also wastage from your supply chain. Because if we use, for example, a packaging company to package all of our products for us, or we're kind of ordering our products from somebody that's getting them from somebody else that's getting them from somebody else, that's a lot of wastage in that process, and it means that our prices need to be a lot higher. So all of our ingredients are sourced directly from the manufacturers or the suppliers. So for example, our salt, the Celtic sea salt, that comes directly from the guys that are hand harvesting it straight to us, as well as a lot of the other ingredients as well. And then we package those ourselves as well in our facility in Gloucestershire. And not only does that give us more control over the ingredient, you know, making sure that everything is handled correctly, but also if we need to move quickly and scale up to support retailers that need more stock, etc., we can do that quickly rather than kind of waiting for other packaging companies to take, you know, 8 to 12 weeks or whatever it might take to do that for us. And at this stage, you need to be as nimble as possible. In terms of packaging, so we use, it's a recyclable plastic pouch we use for our Aura Sea Salts, which is quite a unique packaging for that type of product. Most other salt companies will use like a hard plastic tub, which is way more plastic dense. There's a lot more plastic in that product. And some of them will also use glass jars as well, but glass jars are really heavy. And you also have an issue with glass jars and the plastic tubs where the salt can more harden towards the bottom. And obviously for us, we didn't want to use any anti-caking agents. So for us, a more flexible plastic pouch means that we don't need to use the anti-caking agents, and it sort of helps to keep the product more fluid in the packaging, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. Because yeah, obviously if something's just standing there, you know, in a cupboard, yeah, as you say, everything's pressing down on the bottom. So just so everyone that's listening knows, the flavors are, and this is the Aura Sea Salt. There's wild garlic, which we love. There's cayenne and paprika, which we've had, and it's also delicious. There's a hint of pepper. That's quite nice, salt and pepper. There's mushrooms and herbs, and then there's turmeric and black pepper. So they're the five different flavors that you can get, which are amazing. And you do starter packs, don't you? So I think you do starter packs where people can test them, and like we did, and we had a preference of two, which we're going to continue to use in our home. So if you want to check out Aaron's salts, it's the website is feelcomplete.com. And do go and check it out. You know, if you're really into your food and you know, like Aaron, you really want to make a difference in the way you're eating, that's the salt to get. I mean, we'd highly recommend it. So there you go. Aaron, what would be your next choice of product? If you could just, you know, money was no issue, you've got the distribution, what's the product that you think would be next for you that you think is going to make a difference to consumers, to shoppers?
I'm actually on a no new product ban. if you like,
by
that's the right.
By whom?
By myself and then my team, people that I work with, because I could literally create, you know, and get into that space of just being creative and looking what's out there and trying to design new products and just waste way too much time thinking about it. And yeah. What I found from launching these products is that actually just getting this product out there, it's really, really difficult. So for example, in terms of where we're stocked at the moment, you can obviously find on our website, on Amazon, and we're in about 100 independents across the UK, sort of health food shops and things, and also Fortnum and Mason. And we're one of the winners of their open call to try and find the best undiscovered food and drink brands in the UK.
That's amazing. Well done.
So thank you. Yeah, so we're stocked in Fortnum and Mason at the moment. There's a window in Piccadilly that actually has the Aura Sea Salts in the window and a bit of the story. Nice. which is great. But for us to really help people, we need to get this product into supermarkets. You know, that's where people are buying their salt at the moment. That's where they're, you know, that's where the eyes are. How many people are going to Amazon to buy sea salt? Like, there are some people, and Celtic Sea Salt does really well on Amazon, but that's because you can't find it in the supermarket.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, we really need to be speaking to these supermarkets, which is a couple at the moment. But, you know, for them, they're thinking about profits, right? They're thinking, okay, is this really going to sell? Do people really want this product? Mm-hmm. So we is my job to really prove that people do want a clean organic sea salt like this. They do want to supplement vitamin D through this method, and people would like to do that. And if we can prove that to them, then they will stock it, and then hopefully there's enough people that see it and buy it. So that's a huge challenge. That's way more challenging than creating a new product that, yeah, you know, is sort of, how, if that makes sense. That's a real big mountain for us to climb.
It has to be your focus, right? It has to be like 100% focus. So that's definitely. And being a creative person, I mean, clearly you understand business. You studied law, you know, you studied finance, you've got that bit. It sounds like you do like being creative as well. So this is the journey, isn't it? Where do you see your results in the next 5 years?
5 years is a long time. In my mind, next year really we need to land in at least a couple of the big retailers. And the way that they work is, if you know, for example, if we went into Waitrose, who have a very big organic message, so they have a lot of signs, and when you walk into Waitrose it says choose organic, but then they don't have an organic option like Aura Salt for your organic products that they sell. But if we went into Waitrose and the product did well, very quickly then the likes of a Sainsbury's would want to stock it. So for us, for next year, that's the plan, that's what we're really working towards. Once we're in there, then we can focus on new products and really see what we need to do next. And maybe 2027 we'll launch something new, but at the moment that's TBC. I'm trying not to even think about what that might be.
No, I get fair distracted. Enough. So we want to see your results in Waitrose, you know, maybe Ocado, then it could be good starting places. Aaron, it's been an absolute pleasure with you on the show. Thank you. I want to get your second song in because I'm sorry. I've so enjoyed chatting with you. Tell us the song that you've chosen. We're going to play 2 minutes out before the end of the show. But what have you chosen as your second song?
It's Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Another one that's on the playlist. Super positive. You can't help but have a great day after you listen to the song. So,
Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye, and I think it's Tammy Terrell, isn't it?
Yes.
Aaron, you've been a superstar. Thank you so much. Don't forget to go and check out feelcomplete.com. Let us know how you're getting on, Aaron. We'll have you back on the show once you crack into Waitrose. Thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Jarvis. Brilliant.